Welcome to A Word Fitly Spoken, a podcast about Jesus, His Word, and our joy in following Him. I'm Michelle Leslie.
And I'm Amy Spreeman. You know, before we get into our topic tonight, we want to remind you about our webinar. It's titled Discerning Women Learn to Discern. And it is this week, Thursday, May 14th at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. And Michelle and I are going to be teaching on the scriptures that pertain to discernment. We're going to be talking about contemporary false teachings to watch out for, addressing false teaching with loved ones and leaders, and much, much more. So it's only 90 minutes. We know your time is precious, and we just want to honor that. But, you know, 90 minutes is going to be packed full of good information. Now, to register and to get all the information that you need, go to our website, awordfitlyspoken.life, and just click on the webinar tab.
That's right. We're so excited about this. This is a topic that's really, really important, discernment is. So be sure to help us get the word out by sharing this information around on social media with your friends and your family, your church, the ladies at your church, and anyone else that you think might be interested, because we want to reach as many people as we possibly can. Okay, on to tonight's topic. How many of y'all have been struggling with the stress of these continuing stay-at-home orders? You know, not being able to go to church, get your hair cut, visit your loved ones in the nursing home or the hospital. I mean, as much as I want everyone to be healthy and safe, I would be lying if I said that everything is totally hunky-dory for me. All this upheaval in normal day-to-day life has produced this constant low-grade stress and anxiety that seems to be just wearing on everybody.
Yeah, I think it's safe to assume that we all are prone to be a little on edge these days. You know, I have those feelings too, even though I know that we're not supposed to be anxious for anything and not to be driven by fear. So for me, I'd say it's more of like a restlessness and not knowing what this so-called new normal is supposed to even look like. It's so annoying. And you know, I have a little bit more of a subtle way of expressing it, not really in anger so much for me, as much as snarkiness, which is pretty much the same thing. So, you know, we have to watch that. That's not good. So as Christians, you know, we need to watch our words and our tone if we're going to be pleasing to God, which is really what we want. And, you know, it's what He wants too. We are seeing the whole world really deeply impacted by stress and anxiety, you know, during this stay at home or safer at home, whatever your state calls it. Sadly, we are starting to hear reports that divorces and cases of domestic abuse and child abuse, even suicide, are on the rise.
Yeah, and while as Christians, I certainly hope that none of us are taking out our angst on other people to that kind of sinful extreme, I'm thinking that many of us may still be sinning against those around us in what we might consider, you know, we might consider it a lesser way, by being irritable with them. Look, quarantine or no quarantine, irritability is a sin that I struggle against on a daily basis. All too often, I give in to temptation in this area. I snap at my children or my husband or the dog, you know, not because I'm seeking to build them up in Christ or admonish them towards godliness, but because I'm annoyed. My agenda is being thwarted. Somebody rubbed me the wrong way. You know, do you hear that common thread there? It's I, me, me, me. I'm not getting things my way.
Yeah, that's me as well, Michelle. Me, me, me. You know, and when I put myself first by venting, you know, my frustration and anger on others instead of putting my own feelings aside in order to actually serve them, I am really dishonoring and disobeying my master, who has put everything aside to redeem me, a selfish, rebellious sinner who didn't deserve His grace. And I am also not being a picture of the gospel to the person I'm being short with either. So I'm deeply, deeply grateful that when I confess my sin, Christ is faithful and just to forgive me for that sin and Amen. To cleanse me from all unrighteousness. As 1 John 1:9 tells us, if it weren't for His grace and mercy, well, I don't even want to think about what that would be like or what would become of me. But even though I'm grateful for Christ's forgiveness, what I'd really rather do is honor Him by not sinning in the first place.
Right. I mean, I think it's like that in every situation. If there was a switch we could flip so that we wouldn't sin anymore. You know, I'd be the first in line to flip it. So it's kind of like that in all situations. But so what we really want to talk about tonight are seven proactive steps we can take to wage an offensive attack on irritability, or maybe even to prevent irritability from rearing its ugly head in the first place. So let's get started with number one. Number one, I bet everybody can guess what I'm going to say. Start the day off with Bible study and prayer. Now, I'm not just saying that because this is a Christian podcast and I have to stick that in somewhere, you know, to be all Christian-y and everything. I'm saying that for two reasons. First of all, Jesus tells us to, and that's the most important reason. In John 15:4-5, Jesus says this, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So daily study of the Bible and prayer are the primary ways that we abide in Christ. It nourishes and shapes our spirits and forms us into his likeness. Prayer is also the place where we can ask forgiveness for our sin and for the Holy Spirit to strengthen us for the next round of temptation. So that's the first reason. Second reason that I'm mentioning Bible study and prayer right off the bat here, my experience bears this abiding thing out. I'll bet yours does too. When I neglect prayer and Bible study, I am far less likely to respond to irritation in a godly way. But when my spiritual tank is full, it's much easier to know when I should keep my mouth shut and actually do it, or take a deep breath and wait a minute before responding to someone. So if we want to be a branch that bears good fruit in the area of mortifying irritability, we've got to abide in the vine.
You know, Michelle, that's so true. And I think daily prayer and Bible study is probably the most important step on our list, because the other steps all seem to be rooted in that one, like step number two, and that is remind yourself where irritation comes from, right? So as I mentioned earlier, the root sin of irritability is selfishness. You know, that's completely inappropriate for a Christian. We all know that. And so many women are taught that, you know, we have to experience everything through our feelings and emotions, and that those emotions are just the way we are. In fact, there are so many women in churches today who call their emotions their hot mess. And, you know, they wear it like a badge of honor, feeling really no guilt, no remorse at all for completely blowing up and biting someone's head off. Not literally, of course, but figuratively. And we know what that means. You know, the world out there tells us that every feeling we have has to be expressed, right? That's our right. But that's not what the Bible says. You know, the Bible tells us that we are to deny ourselves and not indulge our sinful flesh and vomit our emotions all over any hapless soul who happens to stumble across our path. So it's selfish to make ourselves feel better by taking out our anger and irritability on others.
That is so true. And it can be so easy to forget in the heat of the moment. I know I'm not thinking about how selfish I'm being when I'm vomiting my emotions all over somebody. I'm just thinking about, you know, my flesh wants to feel better right away. And that's all I care about in that selfish fleshly moment. Well, step three is also a good reminder. Step three is preach the gospel to yourself and mirror Christ. The heart of the gospel is Romans 5:8, which says, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Think about all the sins you've committed over the course of your life. Just take a minute and think about that. Millions and millions of sins. Do you think God might have just a teeny tiny reason or two to be irritated with you for all those sins? Yeah, me too. But instead of pouring out his anger on you each time you transgressed, what did he do? He sent his precious son to die for you. He loved, he gave. We need to mirror that loving, giving heart of God when we interact with others, even people who are bothering us. Remember what 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." And, you know, usually when somebody irritates me, it's not even because he's actually sinning against me. It's just some annoying behavior or noise somebody's making or just some little idiosyncrasy that somebody's doing that's just, they probably don't even realize they're doing it. So what excuse do I have for pouring out my anger on others instead of remembering the grace that God extended to me and extending that same grace to them?
What a great reminder. I need to remember that more often. And what, you know, it seems like we're a lot like the Israelites in that way, is that we forget all that God has done for us. So, so here's another good one. A fourth way we can nip irritability in the bud is memorize scripture. I say this as somebody who has a terrible memory. And years ago, I had convinced myself that I just don't have that gift of scripture memorization. So, you know, it's okay. I didn't grow up hearing or reading the Bible and didn't know the Lord till about 36. So great excuse, right? Wrong. I could have told my younger self that lame excuse is absolute hogwash. It's a funny thing about memorizing scripture I found is that you get it embedded in your brain and the Holy Spirit causes it to just pop right back into your noggin right when you need it the most. And that's just one of the ways that the Holy Spirit guides us, as we talked about in a recent episode a couple weeks ago. So here are some verses I would suggest memorizing if you find yourself on the verge of being irritable. First one is Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Another one is Galatians 5:22-23. And this is one of the first Bible memory verses I learned years ago. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law." That one is permanently emblazoned in my brain. 1 Corinthians 13:4-5 is another one, those two verses. "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful." And then Ephesians 4:32, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." And another one, just last one here, Proverbs 31:26. "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue." I love all those.
Those are some great verses, and short too. You could even memorize those verses, Amy.
I have. I've repented. I've changed. It's amazing how that memory works now.
Yeah, I bet a lot of us have some of those verses memorized already. I know I have a few of them memorized. I always forget at least one of the fruits of the Spirit, though.
Oh, man, I love that one. And you know what? I bet you a lot of the ladies were saying that along with us too.
Probably so. Well, here's the fifth way to avoid the sin of irritability. Get physical. Some of our listeners who are our age will probably remember that Olivia Newton-John song, "Let's Get Physical." Let's face it, when our bodies are out of whack, it's harder to control our emotions. I'm sure we all know that. So take care of your body in these areas. First of all, making sure you get enough sleep should be a no-brainer. We're all more irritable when we're tired. Next, eating a nutritious diet is important, but so is eating at regular times, not skipping meals. I mean, who's happy with anybody when she's starving, right? Exactly. Maybe you need a Snickers bar there. Also, get the right amount of caffeine for your body. Too much can make you irritable, but so can too little, you know, depending on what you're used to. Exercising regularly, great way to prevent irritability, but it's also a great way to work out all those frustrations in a healthy way. I mean, if you're ready to just let loose on somebody, lace up those running shoes and take it out on the pavement instead. Okay, getting a little more personal here, go to the bathroom. That's right, I said it. When you've got to go, you've got to go, and not just for your own sake. You can't focus on being kind to people who are annoying you when the call of nature is demanding to be answered. And, yeah, exactly. And to get even more personal, ladies, chart your periods so you'll know when PMS will be rearing its ugly head. then do what you can, whether it's taking medication, eliminating things from your schedule to reduce stress, locking yourself in your room for a few days. Do whatever you've got to do to curb your propensity to rip everybody's face off. You know, do everybody a favor and just manage it. It's kind of amazing, but, you know, being good stewards of the bodies that God gave us and managing them well can actually help us avoid sin.
Oh, that's a great, those are some great tips, you know, and being a good steward of our relationships can help in that matter too. So here is number six. Six is proactively manage your exposure to other humans. That's right. Even in this time of staying at home or quarantining yourself, whatever it is, manage your exposure to other humans. Now, there are introverts and extroverts in this world, right? Extroverts get energized by spending time interacting with others. But for introverts like me, it takes energy to spend time with other people. You know, introverts love their husbands and children and others, right? And we want to spend time with them, but mostly find that they need some time alone each day to maintain their emotional and spiritual health. So in scripture, we see that, you know, even Jesus had a similar need. Luke chapter 5, 15 through 16 tells us this, that crowds of people came to hear him to be healed of their sicknesses. And Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So in other ladies, don't become a hermit. But if you tend toward being an introvert, try to take some time alone and pray to recharge when you can. And when we're thinking about being good stewards of our relationships, it's also helpful to know who irritates you in which situations. You know, Michelle, I call those folks EGRs, extra grace required. So anyway, if it's somebody who really presses your buttons and you don't have to see that person every day, try to arrange your meetings with her for days when you're rested up, hormonally balanced, and you've had a good long quiet time. And don't forget to pray for patience before you meet with her.
That's so important. You know, I don't think it occurs to us, it doesn't occur to me anyway, to plan ahead for how we're going to interact with people, but it can be really beneficial if we're trying to avoid giving into that temptation to be irritable or not to be kind to people, to be impatient with them, things like that. Just think ahead, plan ahead, and get all your ducks in a row for meeting with that person. Well, the last way of preventing irritability that we have for you tonight is get help. Know your warning signs of irritability and get your family and friends to help you if you need it. I mean, my husband knows when PMS time rolls around and he knows exactly how to kindly and patiently bring me back down to earth. He's also learned that in the morning, I am not a morning person. I mean, I used to be so much worse, but I'm a little better now. But still, he has learned that in the morning, it takes me a couple of minutes of wakefulness for my self-control to kick in. I just don't know who I am or what I'm doing, you know, until I've been up and about for a minute or two. So he's usually pretty quiet and he doesn't try to engage me in those moments of half consciousness when I'm just waking up. So get some help in that way. That can be really helpful. You might also want to consider employing what I call the muskrat method. If you've seen the movie Meet the Parents, and there's a lot of bad stuff in it, this is not a recommendation for you to go see it. But if you have seen it, you'll remember that every time the dad was about to lose his temper, his wife would whisper to him, "Muskrat, Jack." You know, it was a little code word just between the two of them that meant, hey, you know, I see you're about to go berserk. Let's rein it in while there's still a chance to opt for sanity. You know, calm down. You're about to blow up. So when you're waging war against irritability, it can really be beneficial to get others to help you.
Yeah, you know, that's right. And Michelle, I like to just, you know, admit to your loved ones that you're feeling a little prickly today, not by the way to warn them, because that, you know, you're setting yourself up for being a little bit more demanding, but instead just encourage them to call you out if you can't control your words and tone. I mean, seriously, and it's a great humbling thing to do. Irritability is not becoming two of us as Christians. And we know that patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control, like we said, all fruits of the Spirit, but irritability is a fruit of the flesh, and that we need to mortify.
Amen. Well, that's going to wrap up another episode of A Word Fitly Spoken. Don't forget to go to awordfitlyspoken.life and click on the webinar tab to register for our webinar while there's still time. Discerning Women Learn to Discern. That's what the title is. So we're looking forward to teaching y'all and to being with y'all. And be sure to share all that information around and invite all of your friends. And until next time, be patient and kind with others and walk worthy.